America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to another, well, terrifying episode of Let's Weekend.
But not for usual reasons.
Yes, and
just gotta put that out there.
Yeah. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo Ninalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
So it's about time that I remind everybody that the end is near. Repent all your sins, for the Lord is coming. You'll see why we're saying that, because, well, now that it's there, we have rivers of fire.
Ants,
yes. Rivers of fire ants. I would pay really close attention to your firstborn children, because they might be next.
Yep. So,
and when the sky starts raining frogs, you'll know we're all fucked.
Yeah.
Evolution is about to inform the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Either that,
Darwin's about to take a big old dump right on top of all your religious preconceptions.
Yep.
Oh yeah. So, holy shit. All right, so you guys all know what the one big thing we're going to be talking about is. But other than that, we also had North Korea basically inching us that much further into a nuclear winter. Canada basically came across a shit ton of cocaine. We've got some ESPN news. We got the aftermath of Amazon taking over Whole Foods, some FDA stuff, Microsoft, and a bunch of other stuff going along with it. But mostly it's going to be the rivers of fire ants.
Because, well, it kind of commands the bulk of your attention when something like that happens.
Yes, it does. But anyway, so... to start us off, I guess we'll just, Phil, what are you doing this week? Well, what were you doing?
Well, I was listening to a lot of music this week. Probably should have listened to this last week, but I listened to Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. So, better late than never, I suppose. I listened to the new album by Baby Metal, and my life has changed. that's...
God, so you're just now discovering them.
Yeah, well, I kind of knew about them, but I didn't really, like, you know, dig into them, really. So now I just listened to their new album, and I'm like, okay, what the fuck, Japan?
But, and why the fuck does this somehow manage to work so well?
Yeah, because that new album is really, it's really intriguing, because it's like a fusion of, like... How many? I don't know how many genres are in there, because it's just a melange of just about everything. Starts off with bubblegum pop mixed in with British power metal. It's like, imagine if three pop idols were playing to Dragon Force. And then it goes all over the place. You got like some punk in there. You got some ska. You got some dubstep mixed in with metal. I don't know how that even works, but they managed to pull that off. And then there's some...
They're at the point now where they can do pretty much whatever they want and make it work.
Yeah. And the only thing they can't do is sing in English. They tried that. That didn't work. So...
Mm. Yeah, well, to be fair, a lot of Japanese pop idols can't sing in English very well.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm not going to hold that against them. It's just... Yeah.
And as far as they go, give them time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure... it's only their second album, so... I'm sure it'll... come along pretty well, but I like the concept. It's ridiculous enough that it works, and I'll be listening to more of that. I have to track down their first album. It's probably on iTunes, so I'll probably pick it up there. I'm not importing the CD. That's going to be really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been doing that.
I hate it whenever I have to buy music from Japan, because I know I'm going to get bent over a bench trying to buy it.
Yeah, it's that shipping. It's like, this thing...
No, that's
that
just
is,
the
like,
cost of the disc.
Well, not too, but there's some, I don't know, have you ever ordered from CD Japan?
Not them specifically, but I've imported music before.
Yeah, the CD Japan is actually kind of reasonable as far as their prices go. So their shipping is not terrible. You might get hit for customs, though. That's the one issue with importing anything. So, but yeah.
Oh, no. Music prices in Japan are just notoriously bad at the counter.
Yeah.
There is a reason why there was a music rental industry there for a very long time.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's how bad it got.
I wonder why that yep. is, though. It's some sort of law or something in there. I don't know. Or are they just taxed more?
I think it's just the way the... No, I'm talking MSRP on CDs.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, it's not a sales tax or anything. It's just the way the market shook out, I suppose.
Hmm. Strange.
I haven't done a ton of reading into it. I just know that any time that I've tried buying... music from Japan, the sticker price is bullshit.
yeah, especially game soundtracks.
I'll be honest, a lot of media in Japan has had that part of its existence. Like, for example, books, for example. There was for decades, there was this large, like, book lending industry.
Hmm.
And I don't mean, like, libraries. I mean, like, book rental.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just they've done that with that. They've done it with movies. They've done it with games. They've done it with music. I mean.
Yeah. And there's also apparently a big secondhand market in Japan, which is something that around here seems to be shrinking. So.
Oh, God. Yeah. There's like a whole, like, that's basically like one third of Akihabara.
Yep.
So it's the other reason electronics.
People go to Akiba. Yeah. So, But yeah, so there's been that. What else have I been listening to? Oh, yeah, Death Magnetic. I actually managed to get through it and not have my ears bleed. Thanks to the re-release that came out on iTunes last year that was mastered for iTunes, which is a. Something I was kind of vaguely aware of, but I looked into what it actually is, and it's basically a rule set that Apple has put in place for content creators to upload their music to iTunes. If they want that Mastered for iTunes badge, they have to do several things, one of which is a direct counter to Death Magnetic's biggest problem. You cannot have a hot mix in on if you want your thing mastered for iTunes. So the biggest problem with Death Magnetic, as everybody knows who has listened to it, is distortion and clipping, and making your ears bleed as a result of that. The version of that's available on iTunes that I picked up doesn't have that problem. So basically I was able to listen to it as if it were a normal release and it sounded good.
Turned it into one, basically.
Kind of. I mean, it's like, if it had come out, in that state instead of the way it had, I don't think, it would have gotten the shit that it had, you know?
Yeah.
Most of the problems that people, like, you know, have been complaining about for Death Magnetic have all been, like, technical and the mix and stuff, but some people have harped on the fact that there's a lot of reusage of riffs and stuff like that, but I'm not too, you know, that doesn't really bother me too much. But with this Mastered for iTunes mix, you can actually hear that there's a lot more going on that album than you originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can actually hear it. So, yeah. Another thing about Mastered for iTunes, which is kind of interesting, is to upload your music there, you have to submit 24-bit 96 kilohertz masters at least. That's not what gets delivered to you. You get the typical iTunes 256K variable bitrate AACs. But given that they're re-encoded from a high bitrate source, they actually sound a lot better. The implication is that as codec technology advances, your copy that has been mastered for iTunes will can and will be upgraded. So that's...
That is cool.
Yeah. So that's something to keep in mind. Yeah. So
and hopefully this does some favors for Death Magnetic's legacy.
I hope so. I mean, it's,
because it is a very good album.
It is a very good album. But, yeah. And so, yeah, next year will be its 10th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, for me personally, a ton of things have happened since that album came out, but to think that it's been 10 years as of next year, that's still... Holy shit.
Well, I think it was January 27th of 2008 when it came out. So, you know, a little over 6 months away from its 10-year anniversary. So I wonder if Metallica is going to do anything, or maybe they'll actually do that, release that Mastered for iTunes mix on a CD. I don't know. Do something like that.
That would be a good way to go about it.
Yeah. Because they're starting to, they've already done remasters of Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning. The Master of
maybe
Puppets
do that and include studio masters of, like, edited studio masters of Beyond Magnetic as a bonus disc, or
Beyond Magnetic definitely needs that.
Those are four solid fucking songs.
Yeah, those are also mastered for iTunes on the iTunes. I'll have to see about getting that one as well, because I got the CD, and holy crap, does it sound like shit. So I'm going to be paying...
It's basically an uncut EP from the Death Magnetic sessions.
Yeah.
So.
And it sounds like it. So... Yeah, I'm going to be paying more attention to this Mastered for iTunes stuff, because it looks like they're actually making a genuine effort to... to improve the audio quality of stuff that you download. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to see where it all goes and stuff like that. I know like I was just about to say, the Master of Puppets remaster is coming out in middle of November. I'm a little curious what they're even going to be able to do with that one, because it was already so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a little bit hesitant about that one, but, well, I'll probably end up downloading it and seeing.
Yeah, find a way to make it kick more ass.
Yeah. The big question is the one they do after that, which would have to be Justice, and whether they go back in and actually re-level everything so you could actually hear Jason.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would make it worth buying in and of itself.
It would, and yet, I don't think that, Jason's bass is inaudible. I can hear it.
It's not inaudible, but it's not
as emphasized. Audible
as,
It's not emphasized, but, I don't know, I like it.
But if they did it right, that would make it worth buying in and of itself.
Yeah.
And,
well, at this point, because I've seen that all of the, Metallica albums are now mastered for iTunes. I'm going to get all of them. So over the course of the next few months, you can expect reports from me as to how these all sound. So, I think the next ones I'll probably end up getting are the two loads, since I don't have those anyway. So, which is a shame, because they're good albums. Anyways,
they're already really well produced too.
Yeah, but yeah, that was back when Bob Rock was still with them. So
yeah.
Yeah,
some would say overproduced, but
I like those two albums, particularly. Well, the first load, Reload, was a little weaker, but it wasn't bad. Anyway,
yeah, the Reload were the tracks that were left over when they released Load.
Yeah,
so
they should have just done Load as a double LP and called it a day.
Well, they couldn't because of the tour.
Yeah. So that's a shame. Because
they were booked solid during that point, and they just took about, I would say, 2/3 of what they had recorded at that point, and that was Load.
Yeah. Well, I think it turned out pretty well. So
yeah,
it's not like my favorite Metallica album, but it's one that does end up in the rotation every now and then. So
I liked it because it really fit in with my temperament.
Yeah.
just generally speaking. And, you know, it, not everyone felt that way about it, but maybe it was the timing. Maybe it was just that it was a sound that I could get into, but I'm quite fond of those albums.
Yeah, they're good albums. I think what they, one of the knocks that they had against them was because they came out after the Black Album, and let's face it, it came out after the Black Album.
They could have released Death Magnetic after the Black Album, and people still would have shit on it.
Yeah, so yeah, that's another thing it had going against it. But anyway. So other than that, I've been, you know, just watching some random TV shows. I got getting my way through Babylon 5, which is getting better and better as I go through it. Yeah. Characters in that series are remarkably deep. I did not expect that from a show of that age, but apparently there's a whole lot going on there that I didn't anticipate.
So, TV was pretty fucking good back then.
Yeah, well, some of it was. This was apparently one of those.
There are going to be turds in any era.
Yeah.
That's unavoidable, but.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of people talking like we're in some kind of new golden age of TV now, but you go back to that early 90s to early aughts, there was some good shit going.
Oh, yeah. There definitely was. I mean, that's about the time Cartoon Network started up, Comedy Central. I mean, these were game changers.
Yeah, the 90s was when South Park started up. You saw, you saw some of the more adult-oriented cartoons that started showing up. Yeah, there was a lot going on there. Roseanne, which was, you know, remarkably deep for a sitcom.
Yeah.
And that's coming back, so, yeah.
Is it?
Yes. Netflix.
Yes, it is.
Like, yes. Mm. Oh, wait. Is that why there was conversation about the Beckys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's been mostly my week. Oh, yeah. And summer's pretty much over. So, yay. Mm. So, how about you, Pat?
Not quite as uneventful as the last couple weeks. Getting back into Final Fantasy 14, got into the Dissidia beta, been playing the shit out of that. Streamed a little bit of it, but not as much as I probably should. Writing about games, got two or three reviews I'm really hoping to knock out over this 3-day weekend I've got. And writing about hockey as well, because the season is almost upon us, and all this time I have been a staff member over at Puck Planet since it launched. It's about time I acted like one. So been doing a little bit of that too, just kind of getting situated for the season to come. It's been pretty fun. Not a whole lot to say about any of these things, but that has been my week.
All right. And, Teresa, what about you?
Played a little bit of Final Fantasy 14, not a lot. I also played a kind of a nice amount of Civ 6, and then I got sick of it, like, really quick. I mean, the scenarios I like, but the main game, I mean, even if you do a quick game on a tiny map, that is such a time commitment. And I can't sit and spend 8 hours to play it, because it just doesn't, it's not keeping me. I don't know what else to say. Yeah, more scenarios, please. Less regular game. I listened to one of the Terry Pratchett audiobooks, Witches Abroad, which was really nice. I enjoyed that. I listened to most of it on a road trip. I did a return to the South and was in Kentucky and Tennessee for a little bit this week. Actually, a lot this week. So kind of tired and, pretty much wrecked my wrists, driving, even though I brought my wrist braces. And then my stupid ass cat, punctured my thumb. Of course I was fucking with her. So, you know, I mean, in her defense, and I screamed so loud that the UPS driver looked up at the window. Oopsie. So, yeah, not a ton of gaming, but I also did another little, this is my version of playing the lottery or gambling. Mm. I went to G2A.com and did another one of those mystery bundles of 5 premium games. So I thought, you know, it's about like buying a couple of lotto tickets, right? Did a scratch off. So I got 5 titles I have never heard of before in my friggin' life.
Oh.
And I installed one. It's called The Silent Age, and it's a point-and-click story one. Oh, so I figure I could do that with, you know, the sushi punctured thumb over to the side. So, but other than that, I've been choking on Canada. Oh my God, the wildfire in British Columbia has been messing shit up for a couple of days here. So lots of allergy medicine everywhere to try to keep down the coughing. Mm. But yeah, sometimes that happens. You know, sometimes we get other people's wildfire particles in the air. And yeah. This time it was Canada's. So
sorry about that, Luke.
Well, I'm pretty sure they didn't mean for it to happen.
that doesn't stop Canadians from apologizing.
Good point. But that's really been about it. It's been a quiet and very confusing week, and I have no fucking idea what's going on from 1 second to the next. But I know today is Friday, so that's all that matters.
Yeah.
All right. Chris, what about you?
It's been kind of a busy week as far as work has been going on, so I have not done a ton. I've been watching a bit more Black Mirror, and I guess I'm on the second season, a few episodes in, and it's gotten a lot better as far as the pacing stuff. Where you're not like figuring out where it's going and then have to sit for another 20, 30 minutes, wait for it to make its journey that way. Yeah, looking forward to watching more of that. Kind of dipped a little bit back into The Flash from where I was at in season 2, where I just was reintroduced into who Zoom was, which I recall seeing before when they did the shocking reveal. But that's been kind of it for video stuff. So for games, kind of been just jumping around a lot. Played a bunch of Marvel Heroes Omega as they have just been running their first sort of special event on the consoles. It's a Defenders themed event. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty simple. You just log on. You get a couple of things to do as sort of your quest. And so far, it's been all the same thing for the most part. Every day from, was it Misty Knight? It's part of that. It's been just kill like 200 hand ninjas, 25 elite hand ninjas. And like for a couple days, it was have 60 of the currency that's specific to this event. It's called the Order of the Hand, which only drops every, like maybe every minute or so, as far as just fighting enemies. That last one is the hardest part if you actually spend it. Because if you just kept it, you start off with like 50 right away, so it was pretty easy to just get that on the path of doing that. But once I spent it, it's like, well, I've done everything else, now I gotta sit here and grind this out if I'm gonna finish it. And once you do that, you get a Defenders loot crate, whatever it is, and just get some materials, some Eternity Splinters. One of the things they changed recently is how you can earn costumes. Now you can sort of grind it with one of the in-game currencies, the Marvelous Essence that drops with the Marvelous Crates, which you get for leveling up your first character, like, it's like 12, 15, 30, 60, I think.
Hmm.
And, yeah, it's, so now you can just spend that on that stuff, on the costume specifically, though, from looking at what I have, I've got enough that I don't really need to. Though I did, out of these Defenders crates, I got the second Iron Fist, one that's based on the show, which you can only get him by buying all the other Founders packs. It's like $200 worth of stuff. It's like, I'm never going to get this character unless they just take him out. So I'm just still grinding Eternity Splinters in that game to eventually get one of the higher tier characters that are 750. Probably Wolverine or Iron Man. I don't know which one yet. Mm. And I didn't finish the campaign with Squirrel Girl, but I got her to 60. Just kind of by doing stupid stuff like that. Where it's just grinding for the most part. So I'm probably going to jump onto Nightcrawler, I think, next. Sort of get him going, see how fun he is. And sort of in that vein of Diablo stuff, I started up Path of Exile on Xbox One. Now it's fully out. And the inventory stuff is still the same. So it's still way too small of an area just for your main stuff to go into that you pick up. So you can maybe hold 5 to 10 items at a time, which is just ridiculous compared to every other Diablo and Diablo clone out there, where you can at least hold dozens of items before you have to go back. So I was looking up information, try and see if there's anything that they sell to increase that. And I think it's just dash tabs for the cross character chest that you have. And it seems like the solution people have is just don't pick anything up that is just common or whatever. And it's like, that's just a stupid thing to do. That's not what you do in loot RPGs. Yeah, you pick up all the stuff and then you sort through it later.
Yep.
No, you're supposed to skip 90% of the stuff that drops.
Yeah.
It's like, then why is there loot?
Yeah, I wish you had I wish they did it like in Torchlight 2, which was great. Yeah, in that game, basically you have a pet that follows you around and can attack and do that. But you can also send your pet back to town with your all the crap that you don't want to have on you that you want to sell, and it'll go off to town, sell it, and then come back.
Yeah, so that's something nobody else has really done, I think.
Yeah.
You get companions in some of these other games, but you can't send them back, though. With like Marvel Heroes or Diablo, you can just instantly teleport back to the hub.
Yeah.
And just go right back, so there's no real consequences to quitting out.
Yeah.
Whereas here, you need like an actual teleport scroll.
Yeah.
To go back, and then that costs money to get once you're out of like the initial allotment you get.
Yeah.
It's stupid stuff like that that's just
real
annoying.
And they take inventory spots, too.
Yeah. Though they're just like one little box.
Yeah.
So it's easier to fit in there with the other stuff. But yeah, like things take up inventory slots like Resident Evil 4, but you can't rotate things to make them fit better. So it doesn't really make any sense at all why they even have that. I'm still kind of liking it. Another issue I saw is that I was downloading some game updates in the background. I think it was for Marvel Heroes, actually. And while playing the game, it's online only, and I just started getting lag problems, like warping more like it.
Oh, yeah.
Where it just stops for a second, and then you just zipped way where you're actually at.
Yep.
It's real hard to fight enemies when you're warping all around all the time.
Yeah.
Once the update was finished, then everything went back to normal.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't get that problem with Marvel Heroes when I have an update going on in the background. It just keeps doing what it's doing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because they do a better job of instancing stuff and not relying so much on the network.
Yeah.
Mm. But this Path of Exile seems to very much be reliant on an active connection that's not doing anything, or else it's going to just fall apart. As for some other stuff, I got Everybody's Golf, started that up a little bit. That seems pretty cool. If you remember, like, the original Hot Shots golf games where your guy, after you took your shot, your guy would just take off sprinting across the course.
Yeah.
You can still kind of do that, almost kind of controlling it yourself, though you don't have to actually, like, run to where your ball drops, which I'm a little bit disappointed by that, because I would love to just follow my, just run after the shot, crazy style. But it just zooms ahead for you, which is fine, but I kind of like the free-roaming aspect of the game. And it's definitely not realistic at all with the way it does that, because your guy can jump like 4 or 5 times his height into the air and jump up on stuff.
As you do.
Yeah. And I still haven't unlocked the actual open stuff, because there's like places where you can fish. I haven't been able to drive any carts around or anything like that yet, but so far so good. And the customization stuff is pretty good too, especially since you can kind of decide how chibi you want your character to be or not. So you can size up their head to be like just gigantic chibi monstrosities, or just more normal sized kind of realistic looking thing. As well as like all the typical kind of clothing customization, but also a lot of physical stuff. I was able to apply some facial hair and actually move it around a bit, and sort of make it bigger, smaller, whatever. So there's a good bit of customization there, and I'm sure people are going to create monsters and a bunch of other like different types of pop culture creatures and such in there.
Gary Busey.
Though you can actually, I think, download other people's creations, but I don't think it's a very easy thing to do. I think you have to actively play with them online. And I think it just does like groups. You can just sort of group up with random people, just say, hey, I want to play a match, and do that. I don't think it's necessarily specific, like, I'm going to play with this guy or whatever, but I'm just starting into the game, so I don't have a full grasp on everything, but I've also been doing some more YouTube and stuff. Just due to work stuff, I slimmed it down to 2 videos. My freeloading video, I've played Kitten Quest, I think it was. That is a PETA published game on PSN.
Oh, Lord.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
It's actually not bad. They partnered with Luke Bernard, who made Mecho Tales and a bunch of other stuff, has a really interesting art style on his own. And this game, it kind of has a little bit of PETA messaging in it, but not really. You play as a cat. You can buy, with the currency you get, you can sort of pay for other skins, like other types of kittens, as well as like glasses.
You said skins and kittens and PETA in the same breeds. Paragraph.
Yeah, like different sort of thing. That's like the video gamey part. And the only monetization in it is you can buy like $5 worth of coins, but you don't need that at all. I don't see any way that they're really trying to make money off of this.
Yeah.
Other than just offering the one thing that nobody really needs. I'm sure nobody's buying. But yeah, the game itself is pretty neat. It's a dual stick shooter. You're playing as this cat, just shooting these like weird fucked up looking robots. And occasionally in the background there's like meat hooks hanging in the back with like a little bit of stuff on them, but other than that, there's like nothing really like exploitative messaging or anything like that. It's just like, here's information on whales or other weird weird things that you wouldn't necessarily expect or even see if you didn't know that there was PETA attached to this. But yeah, it's an interesting little game, and I kind of enjoyed it. The other thing I did is I celebrated Warhawk's 10th anniversary. Came out this week back in 2007. And
other Warhawk, yeah.
PS3 Warhawk.
Hmm.
The good one, at least. And I played some in the video, some online play. Was right away dismayed at the inverted controls. I had to figure that out. But otherwise, I kicked ass on these people, and I shot a Warhawk down with a tank. So that got me a trophy. That was pretty good. And yeah, that game's still a lot of fun. It was fun to jump back into that and reminisce about sort of how good that game was back in the day. And it still got servers up, so people can still play that. And I really liked the aesthetic. That was kind of doing a better job of being like a more gritty Advanced Wars kind of style than the time that Advanced Wars tried to go gritty. I like the one side in that game. There's like two sides that are embroiled in never-ending war. On the one side from the back looks like Shredders, which I always enjoyed. And yeah, I reminisced about picking up, so you pick up like a lot of power-ups for the different types of weapons. So like there's a rifle, a rocket launcher, flamethrower. There's also these mines that blow up when enemies come close to them. And so I had a good bit where I was like, oh yeah, I remember these. Okay, just put one right outside this door, put this over here. And here comes somebody on the other team, just drives up and explodes in them. It's like, okay, I couldn't have scripted that any better. There's a reason why you don't just run at everything when you see those things.
Yeah.
It's just a fun game. It's a shame that there's probably no chance of any sort of follow-up at this point, especially since Dylan Jobe and the others from Incognito are no longer with Sony.
Yeah.
They're kind of doing their own thing at this point. But yeah, it was a really cool game to jump back into and brought back memories of some of the cool unconventional multiplayer stuff that was going on back then. And it's kind of at least starting to get back out there with things like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and some of these other games out there.
Yeah. It doesn't have to all be Call of Duty.
No. Except for Doom multiplayer. That's constantly trying to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's back in house now. I think they've done a lot of changes to that since.
I think they changed a good bit of that with the most recent update.
Yep. It's like almost enjoyable now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's been pretty much my week. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, first and foremost, I have, well, you know what I've been playing. It's Final Fantasy 14. I am now
on 50.
Huh?
Congrats on 50.
Yeah. I am now a red mage. I'm also a samurai.
You did them both.
And I'm also a lancer and a dragoon.
So, all the things.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why it sounds like I'm talking about it, and it's like I'm talking about it on the playground or something. Yep. That was a red mage, and then I was a samurai, and then I was a spaceman. And then I beat up a cowboy.
That's the Final Fantasy 14 effect.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I got both of those. The weird thing about doing the red mage is I'm kind of having to relearn some stuff because I've been playing up to this point, as a lancer. So I'm having to deal with actually doing stuff with my magic points. And also having to deal with the fact that I actually do have to be careful of my my stamina, because unlike in the Lancers where it just sort of replenishes itself very quickly, working as a red mage, you can deplete both your magic points and your stamina very quickly.
Oh yeah.
If you're not careful. Samurai's not quite as hard. Mostly because there's just a lot of the really hard thing with the samurai is the combos. There's a lot of combos that you have to learn. And
there's no way to really set your controls up in a concise way to streamline it.
Nope. So it's kind of just you really are just kind of having to improvise a bit and just learn to deal with it. But let's see. As far as like plot goes, my last big thing was I beat Ramu. So that part's done. And also having to deal with all the refugees that have started pouring into Mordona, and also had to put down the refugee rebellion and Ulda. So all that stuff. I'm guessing I'm getting close to Heaven's Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And
sounds like it.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what I've been doing as far as Final Fantasy 14 is concerned. I've been playing East Arkham Nepishtim.
Nice.
Demo, yeah.
Yeah, because I realized that East 8...
Oh, there's a demo of East 6?
No, there's a demo of East 8.
Arkham Nepishtim is 6.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I don't have the East 8 demo, but I want to play it. I'm very much anticipating it, and it literally comes out on the 12th, which is, like, just under 2 weeks away. Mm-hmm. So, and it's been getting great reviews, too.
Yeah.
So, and holy crap, that soundtrack sounds amazing.
Falcom always does it.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's an East game, so by default, it's going to have a great soundtrack, but holy crap, it's good. I've been listening to bits of it on YouTube, and wow. MIDI guitars never sounded so good.
Oh, they have a band.
Yeah, I know. But this is the sound team, so it is MIDI and sequencers. So, speaking of music, I've been doing music. You know, I've been listening to a lot of it. Found out that June Maida actually put out a new album late in July that I didn't know about. June Maida, of course, is the main story and music guy for Key. And he is responsible for making you cry like a bitch many, many times. Fuck him and that stupid piano tune from Glenade. But yeah, it's really nice. Also been listening to Gackt because he's Gackt. You guys know who Gackt is, right?
Yeah.
Former singer for Malice Mizer. Now solo artist who can
former
play just
video games.
Kamen Rider Rider Man.
Yeah. Also guy who can just play just about every instrument on the band. He is probably Japan's closest equivalent to Prince. his music is great. Did not know that he apparently thinks he's a psychic.
Okay.
Well, it seems like they can't be great without being a little effed up in the head.
Oh, that's Gackt to a T, so...
Well, you never know if he's serious about that or if he's just trying to mess with people.
Eh, it's possible. A little of both. But yeah, I mean, he's done just a shit ton of stuff besides music. I mean, he's been in movies. Yeah, he's done video game stuff. He has like a concept album called Crescent that also went along with a novel, a movie, and a theatrical play that he composed the music for and also starred in.
Busy guy.
Mm-hmm. He wears a lot of hats. let's see what else. So are you any guys fans of Star Ocean?
Yeah.
I played one of them.
I wouldn't call myself a fan, but I
appreciate
it. I own them.
Yeah, so you guys know who makes the Star Ocean games, right? Yeah. Tri-Ace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the guy who's basically credited with creating the Star Ocean Fresh Eyes is Yoshiharu Gotanda, who is he was the scenarist and programmer basically for not only Star Ocean, but he also did the first Tales game, Tales of Phantasia.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. And which I didn't find out until recently. Apparently, Tales of Phantasia was based on a unpublished novel that he wrote. Hmm. And because he didn't like the way that they messed with his story when Tales of Phantasia came out, he actually went and helped found Tri-Ace.
Hmm.
But I found out he also makes music. And he's got a doujin music group called At Meaties, and he goes under the name Straight, and he does music, you know, MIDI music, and him and his doujin group have put out 12 albums, and right there, you can sort of look at him and get some samplings of some of the music. Mm-hmm. So you want to explore that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been doing that. Guess what, folks? The floor is no longer lava.
Yeah. At least until Asshole Summer shows up.
Which, by the way, it looks is probably going to be next week.
Yeah.
I hear us in the 50s today.
Yeah.
So because of that, I have been able to actually go outside and not melt. I've been able to do my workout. I have been able to enjoy a nice breeze. And then I realized that the reason we're getting this good weather as of late is because of Hurricane Harvey. Which we will have more on in a little later. So, anybody got anything else to add before we move on?
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
All right, well, it is once again time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And for this installment, I want to, first of all, show you a picture. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And click on that. Look closely at it. Do you see some things?
Yeah.
And for the record, this is not from Man in the High Castle. This is an actual honest-to-God photograph.
Okay.
Look closely. Do you notice the swastikas?
Yeah, kind of hard to miss.
That, my friends, is the 1939 American Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden, put on by an organization called the German American Bund. If you look closely, you can see some swastikas. You can see a giant portrait of George Washington in the background. You can see some banners that say "Stop Jewish Domination of Christian Americans." And you can just see a whole lot of what the fuck.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, bit of a backstory. After Adolf Hitler and the Nazis took power in Nazi Germany, they then began to reach out to a lot of German expatriates all over the world. especially in the United States. And the thing you have to understand is there was sort of a generation gap with German Americans in the 1930s. You had the older, immigrants who came in, the 1890s, the 1910s, pre-World War I, and then a little after World War II, who were very fervently patriotic Americans. And then right around 1920s, you started to get a new generation of German immigrants who were fleeing basically from the Weimar Republic. And if you know about any what life was like in the Weimar Republic up until the early 1930s, you'll know it kind of sucked. Everybody was poor. Everybody was doing their best to get extremely drunk. Inflation was rampant. Deutschmarks lost so much value that people would be bringing them into grocery stores in wheelbarrows and wheelbarrows in order to get their weekly groceries. And there was, of course, a bunch of paramilitary organizations running around beating the hell out of each other, from the left-wing groups like the Rot Front, the Red Front, that was with the Communist Party of Germany, to all of the right-wing paramilitary groups like the Steel Helmet, and of course the SA, which was the original paramilitary organization for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And when these immigrants made their way over to the U.S., they brought a lot of that despair and anger with them. So when the Nazis came to power and they were ready to start, proselytizing to German Americans, they had a pretty willing audience. And so eventually you had these organizations like Friends of the New Germany, who would all come together and create one super organization called the German-American Bund, which was led by a guy named Fritz Kuhn. And in 1939, after, several confrontations with the Jewish veterans organizations, who you can probably imagine were not too happy with all the Nazis on their doorstep, they decided to hold one gigantic rally in Madison Square Garden, the entertainment mecca of New York, wherein you had about 20 some odd thousand people, some of them Nazis, some of them curious onlookers, some of them fellow travelers, who came to see a American-style Nazi rally in which, as you can clearly see, they attempted to co-opt American icons, especially George Washington, whom they called the first American fascist. And Fritz Kuhn went up and gave a little speech in full English, which, by the way, you can actually see on YouTube. They have the whole thing on there, including the part where he gets rushed, bum rushed on the stage by a bunch of rightfully pissed off Jewish veterans.
Yeah, I was going to ask how this doesn't disintegrate into a brawl, so it
did disintegrate into a brawl. And just as in modern days, the police protected the Nazis, and the Nazis got the crap beaten out of them, specifically by punching.
Yeah, in the face.
In the face. So, in fact, if you want a better look, here's a better look at that George Washington banner they had behind them, which, holy crap, that thing is imposing. But and of course here's Fritz Kuhn himself, the wannabe American Fuhrer. And I'm not kidding about that. He actually at one point went to Germany and did a photo op with Hitler that apparently Hitler was just sort of a routine thing. He didn't really give a crap about him. And then he came back to the U.S. saying that Hitler had declared him the American Fuhrer. So
one of those types of people.
Yeah. And in case you're wondering what happened to all these folks, Hitler invaded Poland. And people's opinions of the Nazis went south very quickly.
yeah.
And and of course, as all you know, unfortunately, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, that, of course, officially yanked us into World War II. And one of the unfortunate parts of that was the internment camps, which most infamously they did for the Japanese American citizens, but they also did the same for Italian Americans and German Americans, one of whom was Fritz Kuhn, who continued to proselytize within the camps. And then finally he was deported back to Germany in 1951. So if you thought Charlottesville was fucking terrifying, just imagine that this happened once.
It could happen again.
Yep. Very easily. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Yay.
Have fun sleeping tonight, kids.
So.
Yeah. All right, so now it's time for the show proper. And you know what? Fuck it. We don't even have to say it. You know who our asshole of the week is. It's fucking Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah, it's Hurricane Harvey. Although it's... Can you really call a natural disaster an asshole?
Well, have you seen the pictures?
Yeah.
Not of Houston, but I mean like the weather pictures. You know, the meteorological pictures.
Yeah.
The ones that kind of say, hi, I'm nature, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, look closely. It's a giant cloud, asshole.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it counts.
Yeah. Yeah, I would kind of count more the people who are putting up fake charities to scam people out of money in the
Oh, we're going to get all Harvey. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get all that. But, yeah, so Hurricane Harvey officially touched down the day after we did our last post. Our last cast, and thanks for making me look like an asshole, Harvey, because I made all those jokes about how at least Florida was getting a break, and holy shit, it looks like Hurricane Harvey has actually managed to beat Hurricane Katrina in just sheer disaster.
Yeah, yeah, like,
and now I feel bad.
Yeah, I want to say I saw numbers suggesting that Katrina only had like 13 inches of rain.
Mm-hmm.
And Harvey had 53.
Yep.
Yeah. there's a lot of Texas that is underwater right now.
Yeah, Houston is basically water world right now. And so, of course, all the horrible shit that goes along with hurricanes, of course, is happening. You've got people desperately trying to get out, people, you know, crowding rescue workers, people, you know, basically trying to get food from shut down convenience stores and grocery stores, being called looters by reporters on national television. You have Proud Boy assholes walking around claiming that they're looking for looters to shoot. You've got Proud Boys, by the way. Yes, those are the neo-Nazi douchebags. You've got the fact that Houston probably would have been better off if it weren't for the fact that their leaders basically sucked all of the infrastructure funding out of them and left it up to private industry. Oh, and did I mention the price gouging? Yeah, we need to mention the price gouging. There's a shit ton of price gouging going on down there. $79 for a 6-pack of water bottles?
Yeah, that's excessive.
Yeah. Things like, you know, loaves of bread for $30. It, And then you had that one douchebag publishing a column on Forbes saying that there needed to be more price gouging down there because it would help. I'm not joking. I wish I was. I'm not.
No, he's not.
And then, of course, his poke his Cheeto ass into this. President Trump going down there and, going up there to hold basically a sympathy rally, you know, to help all the folks. He's like, it's okay. Everything's going to be kind. We care about you. We know about you and we're coming to help. Instead, he gets up in front of everybody, goes, what a turnout. Motherfucker.
And he said he was donating $1 million and isn't going to do that.
Yeah. And then he posted that thing on, I think it was either Twitter or Facebook, where he's like, after personally seeing the extensive damage of Hurricane Harvey, I'm keeping Houston in my prayers. And it's a picture of him looking at a map in an office somewhere that's probably not even in Houston.
Hmm.
There was the whole thing with the mega church.
Oh, yeah, Joel Osteen. Okay, now, for the record, the Osteen thing, I wasn't going to mention it simply because it seems like there may have been some wires crossed somewhere along the line. It said that he had closed the space because of flooding damage or risk of flooding damage. And then they showed that photo that showed it, in fact, was not at risk of flooding damage. Flooding damage. It was in fact bone dry, but then they showed the parking garage that was apparently near it, and it was like half underwater. So people are saying that might have been what they were actually trying to say, and they were afraid that if the parking garage flooded, maybe the church would be at risk of flooding too. But ultimately, it just made him look really, really bad, especially considering that he lives in a $10 million mansion.
And has this really nice megachurch.
Yeah, that
could house
like
tens of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, and let's see, what else? Oh, yeah. Then everybody learned a nice, fascinating little fact about nature's little assholes, fire ants. Yeah, so you see, fire ants have this thing where if they're in flood conditions, they will hold on to each other and basically become buoyant and become little rafts and just sort of float down the waters until they find more dry land. And so now there's rivers of fire ants in Harvey in Houston. And dear God, this is terrifying. Like, click on that link and just look at this shit.
It's a raft of nope. Nope, yep. nope.
glowing, yeah.
Yeah, you look at a picture and think, it's a bunch of mud flowing down a river. No, it is not. Oh, God, see the gif, the one underneath the alien gif?
Yeah.
Where they've got a picture of these actually thinking, that thing is wriggling. Oh my God, it's wriggling.
And I've seen pictures of somebody poking one with a stick.
Yeah. Which.
And it just goes under the water and then right back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
nope.
Just... the problem with poking it with a stick is that your arm is on the other end of the stick.
Nope.
Yeah.
And,
well, you can't kill it with water. Maybe you can kill it with fire.
Hmm. See, now, even then, the fire ants would just then become fire.
Yeah.
Sentient fire.
I don't know. They're insects. Are they really sentient? I don't know. There's a whole metaphysical discussion we can get into there, but no.
We had enough to drink for that.
Yeah.
I haven't.
And I just want to remind and as you can look closely, for those you don't know, part of the way these rafts work is a lot of those ants, the ones on the bottom, are dead.
Hmm.
and they basically sacrifice themselves for the greater good. Or evil, depending on your view of fire ants. If you look closely, you can see they're actually holding their eggs at the top, too. So, weirdly poetic.
Yep.
So, just quick story. I once had both regular old black ants and a colony of fire ants in my yard one summer. They had a war.
Oh, yeah.
They had a war. Fire ants won. As you can probably guess.
As they do.
Yeah.
And I think they enslaved the black ants, too.
That does happen.
And I'm not making some off-color racial humor there, either. I mean, that's literally what they do. Yeah. If they find another ant colony that they conquer, they will enslave the inhabitants.
Yeah.
And, they also, like, made, like, giant piles of dead black ants.
Yeah.
Like...
just piled them up for no reason.
Yeah, like in mass graves. Well, tiny little adorable mass graves, but mass graves nonetheless.
Mass graves.
Keep them there to scare the shit out of the ones they spared.
Yeah.
Tiny adorable mass graves. I think that's our show title.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. When you guys ever get bored, there is a lovely YouTube channel called Ants Canada. And the stuff that they have on there is amazing. I love watching this. It's great. And they have some ant colonies that accidentally mix, or, you know, they'll put together two ant colonies that are supposed to be non-competitive and both docile, and nope, enslavement.
See, even in Canada, can't pacify them.
Well, the guy lives in the Philippines again, so I guess he lived in Canada for a while.
All right. So, yeah, Hurricane Harvey. Oh, and did I mention the chemical plant that exploded?
Did it actually explode? I thought it was imminent.
Nope, it exploded. Well, part of it exploded.
What kind of chemicals are we talking about here?
I think it was related to the petroleum.
Okay.
So the type of chemicals that go into drilling and manufacturing petroleum.
So very flammable things.
Very flammable things that you don't want to be swimming around in.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, there was the highways getting buried underwater, and that one highway literally getting washed out and collapsing onto itself because of the sheer water pressure. Like I said, part of the problem was Houston's leaders basically sold the city out to private companies, and now they're all paying for it.
Doing that again.
Yeah, they will. They will, over and over and over again, because they get kickbacks.
I would like very much, if I could, to disagree with Teresa, but unfortunately I can't find it in myself to do that. Because this is Texas we're talking about. Sorry for all of our listeners who might be in Texas, but...
I used to work for a Texas state senator. Yeah. They're going to do it over and over and over and over again.
But on the plus side, we've gotten a lot of charities, actual charities, not, you know, the fake ones that have been popping up to scam people, but like genuine good ones. For example, Houston Texans player J.J. Watt has raised $13 million for Harvey relief.
I want to say it's up to 15 now.
Yeah.
It's 13 towards this morning, and now it's up to 15 already.
He of course, is going to be our hero for the week. I don't think I mentioned that. But, yeah, he has really gone out of his way here.
He initially started this fundraising with the goal of $200,000, and that was met 2 hours. And it's been that was Sunday it started, so in less than a week, it's already up to $15 million. and they've already started their first things. He's gathering his teammates, and they have semi-trucks with tons of food and supplies that they're going to drive into town to start giving out to people in shelters and all that stuff.
They're going to do shit. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yes, that's the key word, the key phrase here. He's actually doing shit.
Yeah. And that's sort of their first phase of how to use this money. Mm. I think they're still trying to figure out what else they can do.
Yeah.
And they also, he talked about how he talked to a lot of the people that were working in New Orleans when Katrina hits, and sort of just learned from what went wrong there, what went well, what to do, and is trying to take that into consideration for what to do here.
Katrina, I would hope that we learned our lesson after Katrina, and especially considering who is currently in office right now. And apparently we did.
Yeah,
a lot, at least.
Some of it.
In spite of who is currently in office right now. Even though he did try to gut their budget.
Did you see the thing about all the Twitter bots going nuts about, well, what was Obama doing at Katrina? He was golfing. It's like he wasn't even the president then.
Exactly.
Yeah. I should point that out. But, you know, don't let facts try to, you know, interrupt you from your stupid agenda.
Yeah. Well, that's how it works for some people.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, J.J. Watts is our hero of the week. And he's going to be probably more going to follow in the weeks coming. Because, holy shit, Houston is basically completely underwater right now, and, they are going to need all the help they can get.
Yeah, let's see, Houston.
He posted on, 12 hours ago, 10:18, 14 million, then again at 5:30 PM, 15 million. So yeah, he's just putting up a lot of these videos just like once or twice a day. Say, oh, here's the new number. Give new goals and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is good to see.
Yeah.
Because they were up in Dallas with the Dallas Cowboys doing practice and such. Couldn't actually get home because of the hurricane.
Yeah.
So I think they finally got a means to go home, and they're going to be starting all their work on this stuff.
Yep.
Before the season starts next week.
Yep.
I think they just canceled their last preseason game, just said, we're not going to fuck around with this.
Anyway. All right, so now it's time for the proper show proper. First big news item of the night. Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, a.k.a. the asshole, who recently had his book promoted by President Trump, resigned.
Granted, it was to take a job in the Trump administration.
Which, weird as enough as it is probably the place he could actually do the least damage.
Yeah.
Unless he ends up being the replacement attorney general for Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
But, yeah, so David Clark is a gigantic asshole. He is to Milwaukee what Joe Arpaio was to Arizona. Except unlike Arpaio, I think David Clark actually has actual dead people on his hands. Or at least more. He had one of the first people in a long, very few people in a long time in America to die of thirst in one of his jails. He had a woman who went into labor and gave birth in one of his jails and did not give her medical assistance, and both her and the baby died. That's just two of the incidences on his record, and he has not been charged or put in prison.
And now he's going to be working with Trump.
Yep.
Yay.
Though Arpaio has that shit with the puppy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just evil shit right there.
Yeah. I don't know about it. Please, God, don't tell me. I don't.
Do not.
No.
It's probably worse than what you think.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. I'm not imagining anything.
It's probably the worst thing I could think anybody could do, and it's worse than that.
Well, anyway. Just when you thought, you know, frickin' Wisconsin couldn't get any worse.
Yeah, it does.
Well, at least he's fucking leaving Wisconsin.
Milwaukee. Yeah.
Milwaukee.
It's Milwaukee County, which is in Wisconsin, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it in Okay, sorry. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a land of Scott fucking Walker. I refuse to go camping there because I won't give them any of my goddamn tourism money.
Milwaukee.
So unless he ends up being the next attorney general, he's probably going somewhere where he can probably do the least amount of damage.
Don't give him any puppies either. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Nope.
No, I have a feeling he would probably eat them on camera. And then he would probably tweet about it.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, moving on from there, in the ongoing race to Armageddon between the United States and North Korea, North Korea actually did a missile test and actually managed to fire one over Japan.
Yeah, up north of Japan.
Well, north of Japan, but...
Well, they fired over Japan, basically, the entire length, almost.
I don't know, man. They better not fuck with Japan. I kind of worry about Japan's going to take this shit.
Japan has nukes.
And Japan's not going to be sacrificing the lives of their young people.
No.
They need all the people they can get. They're just going to fucking wipe them.
Yeah. Also, Japan can aim.
Yes, Japan actually can aim. And
I'm sure they can aim, like, really, really well.
Of course, constitutionally, they're not allowed to declare war. So, so there's that. But yeah, and then of course Donald Trump went on and said, "Talk. There is no more talk. We do not talk anymore." And then of course, what was his name? His attorney, not his attorney general, but his what was the guy? Fuck, I forget his name.
It's hard now that all the usual suspects have left.
Yeah. Hold on. Fuck it. I'll look for it because I don't want to get this wrong.
Right.
It's the guy. It's Army Chief of Staff. Not John. Yes, Mattis. He basically went on public. He said, no, it's actually always the time for talk and diplomacy.
So somebody's got a head on his shoulders.
Yeah. Now hasn't Mattis been there for a while though?
Yeah, he has.
He's Trump's guy.
Is he Trump's guy?
Yeah. Huh. At least for that position. I mean, he was already a general, but in his current position, that was Trump who put him there.
Yeah. In other news, by the way, Mattis actually put a halt on the transgender ban.
Mm-hmm.
Until, as quote, a study can be done, which I'm pretty sure means he can pretty much keep it halted perpetually if he wants to.
Yeah.
So, 3.5 more years.
Yeah.
I'm not giving him 3.5 more years.
No.
No, but his little flunkies are gonna, you know.
I don't give him 3.5 months.
Well... Just as a side note, Robert Mueller is now teaming up with the IRS. which means he's going to get his hands on Trump's tax returns.
One way or another. Because, yeah, if you remember Al Capone, that's how they got him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Anyway, so next up, police in Canada have seized the largest cocaine seizure ever with enough booger sugar worth about $250 million.
Wow. Or a week's supply for Keith Richards.
Yep. Now, is that is that American dollars or Canadian dollars?
This is a...
says... Yeah. US. This is Canadian press.
All right.
Wow, so that's even
I assume so. 1,000 kilograms of cocaine.
Whew.
Yeah. That's...
And they did an interesting thing to smuggle it in.
Mm-hmm.
It was in rocks. Like
rocks?
Yeah, like a... describe it here. I forget what it's called. Just like fake rocks. Sort of stuff you would use just for decoration.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not the stuff like you hide your keys in and, you know...
Something like that, I think.
Put next to your porch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those.
They set up a storefront. They call this investigation Project Hope. Connected with the Canadian Border Services Agency, the Peel Regional Police, and the United States Drug Enforcement Agency, along with other people. Let's see, they had two people and one Costa Rican citizen who are facing drug importation and drug trafficking charges. And this has been going on since 2014. So they've been working on this for a while.
Mm.
That's a hell of a bust.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, they set up a store selling these stones, essentially, and imported them from... where was it at? Argentina.
Mm.
So they just imported them. They think it's tied to Mexican cartels. But yeah, tons of money, tons of coke, and they got pictures of these rocks, and you can see sort of the residue of the tape and bags that they were in.
Yeah. Well, they weren't smart enough to get away with it.
Mm.
No.
Also, good. Coke is bad shit.
Yeah. Very, very bad shit.
Yeah.
Oh, just the, we have had a bit of a crack epidemic here in Macon.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, anyway, so, moving on from there.
Here's an interesting thing. So the police used dogs to test, these rocks when they started, getting close. Our dogs never detected the cocaine sealed inside these rocks.
Yeah, so
even
that's
not surprising. The dogs did not have good luck with this stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And, yeah, so, moving on from there. Los Angeles has recently announced that they are going to be replacing Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. And
a lot of that going on around the country.
Yeah, I would say this was a good thing if it didn't also kind of sound just a little bit condescending, but their heart's in the right place.
Yeah.
Because Columbus was an asshole, and I'm glad people are finally starting to realize that.
Yeah.
And he also was a bad navigator.
Yes.
Yeah.
He made for America and hit way south of here.
Yeah. He thought Cuba was Japan. I'm not joking about that.
Yeah, you missed by a lot.
And then celebrate him with the holiday.
And then he murdered, raped, and enslaved so much of the indigenous population.
Yeah.
When he got there. In fact, for a good chunk of American history, he was actually considered almost a footnote.
Hmm.
Like, up until, like, the early, like, late 1800s, early 20th century, he was basically the only, like, bit of fame he had was, of course, Washington Irving's book. And then, you know, when there was the problems with immigrant persecutions and stuff that started happening in the late 19th century, the Italian-Americans kind of latched onto Columbus as sort of a way to seal their identity as true Americans. And unfortunately, that's come back to bite us all in the ass once we realize just how big of a shitbag Christopher Columbus actually was.
And they mention here that Italian Americans were worried about erasing their history. And they gave them a mea culpa and designated every October 12th as Italian Heritage Day, which was the day that Columbus arrived in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
So they said, here, we're not going to name it Columbus Day, but here's a holiday because fuck that guy.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. And everybody was like, okay, that's fire.
Yeah.
They get each pizza and spaghetti on that day.
Yeah, there really needs to be just a general fuck that guy day. It doesn't matter who it is. Just
yeah. I mean, most people don't even get it off for work anymore. So
yeah. So,
but yeah. So yeah. But as you've probably realized, we Americans, a lot of us collectively have realized that we've kind of let a lot of this shit go on for too long, and now we're trying to rectify it.
Yeah. Post haste.
Very quickly. So moving on, we got a story from ESPN. So one of the analysts for their college football division recently quit after, I guess, he had some concerns about player safety. And college football, which we've all kind of come to realize just player safety with American football in general.
Yeah.
But apparently college football is especially bad.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just he's the one that covers that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very much like a face at ESPN for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Is no longer wants to support that anymore.
Yeah, he's like, I cannot in good conscience work on this when, these young gentlemen in their prime are basically giving themselves terminal brain damage. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, his quote here is, I take full ownership of my alignment with the sport. I can just no longer be in that cheerleader spot.
Mm. Yeah. Look, when even freaking Mike Ditka, the guy who led the Chicago Bears into for years and, had a very famous Super Bowl.
Super Bowl 20, bitches.
Yeah. even he has said publicly, he's like, if I had a kid and he wanted to sign up and play football, I wouldn't let him do it.
Well, I mean, way back in the day, Teddy Roosevelt was like, we gotta do something about this.
Because
they were talking about just banning it outright.
Yeah, because American football back then, you think American football was dangerous as fuck today? Back then, it wasn't just regular tackles. They straight up just beat the hell out of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't have helmets either.
And they didn't pass the ball. So,
nope.
I mean, it was all full contact.
Go downstairs on someone head on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and it was about the time that Teddy Jr. was going to play that,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they weren't getting paid millions of dollars.
Nope.
No, man. They weren't getting paid jack.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They win games like 5-3.
And, with 8 people carried off in body bags.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. But yeah, so I honestly can't blame the guy. I mean, like I said, we now realize the extent of the risks playing football. Even the minor tackles can have very long-term effects.
Yeah.
Because especially if you're a kid, holy crap. When your brain is still developing.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're trying to make it more safe for the kids. Though I don't know how successful that is going to be.
Well, ultimately what it's going to come down to is they're going to have to completely get rid of the tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to – that's eventually what it's going to result in, is they're going to ban the tackle because, it, you know, eventually it's going to become –
helmet hit hasn't worked.
Yeah.
No.
And eventually it's going to just become tag football. I mean, that's basically what it is, or flag football.
Yeah.
Because there's really no other way to do it. I mean, the sport by its nature is basically almost designed to completely fuck you up by the time you're in, by the time you're 50. I mean,
there is a solution. But
do you think the sport can survive that?
Yeah, what's the solution?
Well, it's kind of a technological solution. You got Boston Dynamics that are working on very, very, very lifelike bipedal robots.
So you're thinking about basically taking a foosball and making it...
thinking of you come up with a control method that's a lot like mocap, so you can have the athletes piloting remotely in their mocap suits. And then you got all your robot players. And then you could have things like guns and, you know, explosives, and it would be great.
And then you'd have people
being done with that.
And then you'd have people in ESPN bitching about the good old days.
You're going to have people bitching about the good old days no matter what, no matter where.
Yeah.
Well, they should all just back play in hockey my and day, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Back in my day, we went blind from fucking measles. Let's bring it back. Anti-vax.
Yeah, I'm of course just referencing that one asshole who was complaining about esports showing up on ESPN.
So. Of course. Yeah.
Okay, so next up in news that is going to piss you off to just absolute no end. So there was a high-speed chase that happened down in Utah. And the guy that the police was chasing, he crashed into a guy driving a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all taken to the emergency unit, the ER. No, they were not taken to the European Union.
They might have been better cops.
Yeah, they probably would have gotten better cops and probably better health care, too. But the point is... while they were there, one of the police tried to either draw blood or get one of the nurses to draw blood from him. Now, it is actually illegal in the state of Utah to take someone's blood without their consent.
Yep.
In a medical
sense. This guy was unconscious.
Yeah, and this guy was, like, completely out of it.
And there's apparently a whole set of protocols between the police department and the hospital in particular about what to do and when.
And the thing is, if this nurse didn't follow this protocol, she could get sued. Mm-hmm. Her and the hospital. Sued out the wazoo.
Yeah.
But because he's a cop, and apparently in this day and age that also vicariously makes you an asshole... he basically demanded that she draw blood from this man. She made it clear that that would be not only against hospital protocol, it would also be against the law, and he arrested her.
Mm.
And led her out of the room in handcuffs and in tears.
Hmm.
With a body cam capturing all of this.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Nice job, dumbass.
Yeah, who's going to get paid desk work? That guy.
Yeah. Oh, God. Just some people, the stupidity of some people just amazes me. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard to, not just go full cynical and just go ACAB, but... This is an institutional fucking problem.
Yeah.
And as long as you're a part of that institution, you're going to share some of the blame, whether you like it or not.
Hmm.
So,
on the upside, this is a charge that isn't going to stick. So,
no, yeah. It's not going to stick. And this dude clearly violated the law.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that doesn't always mean they'll get convicted.
But, it doesn't.
No.
But it doesn't. There isn't, at least in this case, there is no fucking ambiguity.
Nope.
And even if the guy does somehow manage to stay on the force, people have something they can point to on YouTube and say, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. All right. So. Yeah. So moving on from there, as we recently discussed, Amazon has actually bought Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
And now we kind of know what the aftermath of that is going to be. So, Chris, did you put this up?
Yeah.
Go ahead and inform us.
Sort of in the wake of that, people obviously came in on Monday sort of wondering what's going to be different about this store. One of the things you can find all over Twitter are people finding the signs up sort of offering special deals on the Amazon Echo and the Dot.
Yeah. Piles
next, of them. Yeah. And like, oh, here's our avocados, and if you want, here's a $99 Echo.
Next year, $2.99
Farm fresh Amazon Echoes.
And sort of along with that, we've also got a list here of all the items that are now cheaper.
Mm.
Things like bananas are 30 cents cheaper.
How much did they cost beforehand?
79 cents. Now it's 49 cents. So a good 30 cents cheaper. That's pretty good.
Mm. Actually not bad.
Tell me that's 79 cents per pound it used to be, not per banana.
No, per pound. Okay.
Because be honest. If he had not told you that, you would have totally believed it.
No, I wouldn't have. I shop, dude. That's like my only fucking job. So I clean and I shop.
A banana? Yeah, that would be no, just no.
Yeah, a whole lot of no.
Some of these items didn't really go down much or at all. Or avocados, still $7 for four of them, like it was before. Let's see. The organic large brown eggs from $4.29 for a dozen down to $4.
That's a little bit better, but...
Yeah. Fresh Atlantic salmon fillet, $15 per pound, now down $10.
Wait, is that wild caught?
This is organic. No, fresh.
Organic
fresh.
Salmon.
Fresh salmon. Fresh Atlantic salmon fillet.
Well, you can tell it's organic because it's still kicking.
Local grass-fed 85% lean ground beef was $11 per pound. Now it's $7.
Shit, it was 11?
Yeah.
Now it's kind of matched all the prices.
Yeah, essentially like this... These people put down a list of stuff. They went in on Friday, got the prices. It was a $97 tab for that. Mm-hmm. Came back in on Monday. It was $75, basically for all this stuff.
Oh, well, it's an improvement at least.
And probably. It's a good 20% off.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, go to Aldi.
Well, some of the stuff was like 40-some% off. So yeah, it's. I guess Amazon is looking to put their prices a little bit more in line with reality. They're still a little bit more expensive than some other places, but not quite as bad as it used to be.
Yeah.
Might have to change it to half paycheck now.
Mm. And now they're labeling these items that they're cutting prices as Whole Foods plus Amazon, new lower price. So we got big signs up. You can see there.
Yeah. How much do you want to bet those are also items and stuff that you could maybe get delivered to you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It might be part of their delivery stuff.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of the plan going down the road.
Yeah.
And they said they're still going to have more... Amazon integration with putting Prime in there is sort of a rewards program.
Yeah.
And having the ability to send stuff directly from the site to the store and pick it up.
Yep.
And be able to return stuff that way as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have Amazon lockers there as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so on the one hand, you know, a lot of quality merchandise that Whole Foods puts out is now actually cheaper and more people can actually afford it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Amazon is now just that much closer to world domination.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And you can afford more elitist food.
Yeah.
What's
Want
next?
Want your clotted cream, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be there tomorrow. Order it today before 6 p.m.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the announcement that Google will buy Trader Joe's.
No. Fuck them, no. Sorry.
Whoa.
Sorry, you can't mess with my Trader Joe's, goddamn you. We clearly see where I do the bulk of my shopping, don't we? Aldi and Trader Joe's.
Oh, that was instantaneous and kind of terrifying.
Wow. Okay, well,
I'm pretty sure I heard a shotgun cocking in the background there.
Okay, so no Google Trader Joe's. All right.
All right. So, next up, we got some science news. The FDA recently approved the first leukemia treatment that is gene altering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was cool. Pretty cool.
Yes.
It can alter your genes.
Mm-hmm.
It takes your own immune cells. This is for kids. For a specific leukemia. And it takes their immune cells. And they do. They alter it or do something in some way and put it back into their blood where it will fight the cancer. So I guess maybe it's a new type of immunology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about immunology, but I guarantee after this week I'm going to be learning about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of this with the advances that we're seeing with CRISPR. We're going to start getting some really, really ridiculous, I don't mean like stupid, I mean just amazing advances in this kind of stuff. Sadly, I don't think most of them are going to happen in the U.S.,
Really?
Unfortunately, no, because, there's something about the U.S. healthcare system that the rest of the world doesn't have.
Mm-hmm. Not being able to afford it. Plus,
exactly.
Also that whole, whole Bible Belt thing being against God to tamper with humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to slow things down a lot, so...
Until it actually starts helping them, then they'll be all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, see, I live down here in the Bible Belt.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately for a lot of people who live in the Bible Belt, they don't give a shit unless it directly affects them.
Yeah.
That's true.
And once it directly affects them, boy, do they give a shit.
Yeah.
Oh, they will give a shit.
Hmm.
So on the plus side, we got some amazing new medical technology that'll help us much in the battle against cancer. On the flip side, we might end up living in Gattaca. So
yeah. This stuff costs $475,000 for this treatment.
Yeah.
Which they make sure to say that it's actually cheaper than some of the bone marrow transplants that help with some cases of leukemia,
mm-hmm.
which can be $540,000 to $800,000.
Yeah. And, oh, God, those bone marrow transplants are awful.
Yeah.
They hurt.
Yeah, not good.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
God, I used to work at a farm, and I was a pharmacy tech, and one of the pharmacists who worked there part-time also worked as a pharmacist for a hospital. And, I've heard stories.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah,
it's not pretty.
All you need to say.
Yeah.
But, all right. So, next up, Microsoft and Amazon are going to be partnering up to find ways to make Alex, Alexa, and Cortana work with each other. For more news, visit your favorite fan fiction site.
Yeah, this doesn't quite work the way you would think it does. Right now, this is kind of like a skill on each other's platforms. So it's basically, if you're using Amazon Alexa, you could ask Alexa to ask Cortana to do something for you. Or if you're on Windows 10, you could use Cortana to ask Alexa something.
Yeah, but nobody does that on Windows 10.
No, nobody does that.
Very rarely does Cortana ever get used.
Yeah. If you use the search at all, you're still using Cortana.
Well, yeah.
So that's still kind of part of it.
But
I think this is the voice activated.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of implied here. But and that only happens when you have Cheeto fingers.
Yeah. What's more interesting is the potential future developments of this, where these two platforms will start knowing what the other is better at. So if you ask like Cortana something that it doesn't know about, they would go like, well, I can't do that, but I can ask Alexa. You want me to? And then Alexa would chime in.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. I mean, the fact that these two companies are working together is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Amazon didn't have to, because they're like pretty much number one in this space right now. So.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft is not even, hardly even playing in this space. So, yeah. But yeah, it's kind of cool. Google is nowhere to be seen right now.
Yeah.
I expect they'll probably end up getting some interoperability sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody will be talking to everything.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that weird video of a guy had a Google Home and an Amazon Alexa, and he put a calendar item on each of them, and the name of the calendar item was basically the trigger word and ask what do I have today. So it was basically he asked Alexa what he had on his calendar today, and it would tell him that it was basically. Hey, Cortana, what do I have today? And then Cortana would go, hey, Alexa, what do I have today? And they would just keep going forever. this is the world we're heading towards, folks.
Yeah, so anyway, moving on. There infamously was a company called Juicero,
mm-hmm.
who produced what?
Juicero.
Juicero. Who infamously produced a cold press juicer that cost $400.
And that was after a discount.
Yeah. And they announced they're shutting down.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Wait. A cold press juicer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was $400?
It was $400.
And that was after the discount.
Connected to the internet.
Because, of course, it would have to be connected to
that was DRM. You couldn't have it juice your packs without the internet.
Yep. And you can only buy packs from them.
People figured out you just cut it and squeeze it.
Yeah, you could do that. That's
wait, like all I was doing was just pouring out with the juice inside.
Yeah.
These packs.
Mm-hmm.
So, did the packs contain the fruit?
Yeah, they just contained
juice.
Basically, just juiced fruit already. It was the dumbest thing I have ever seen.
What the fuck kind of Ponzi scheme was that?
One that failed, apparently, because
people saw through it. Especially when you could just take the pack and squeeze it by hand and it worked just as well.
It
seems like the kind of thing that rich people buy just to drive home the fact that they're rich.
Yep.
Yeah. What was that you were going to say, Teresa?
Did my mom buy this? Was this on the infomercials?
No. This was one of those Indiegogo campaigns. That was actually successful for some reason. And then they managed to get venture funding from some really dumb investors, apparently.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause,
I don't know who would bother funding something like this unless you, are completely living in a bubble.
That's like having a $400 peanut cracker when you have, hands. Human
hands. Exactly. And teeth.
Yeah.
No, don't open peanuts with your teeth. Those fuckers can't get replaced.
Yeah. So goodbye, Juicero.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're essentially trying to find a buyer, but they're not.
That's not.
They're giving their employees 60 days notice. And I guess alerted all customers that they can request a refund for the next 90 days.
I suspect they're going to get a lot of refunds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
If the people who bought it even know how to request a refund, I mean, they sound like the stupidest of the stupid.
Yeah.
I suspect a lot of people bought it just to have it because it was a $400 juicer.
Yeah, probably.
Like I said.
It's pretty. I mean, I'll give it that.
Yeah.
It was kind of a pretty looking machine. But anyway.
Anyway. So, moving on. We got some science news. We've reported here. Well, reported like we're actually fucking journalists. We've talked it on here.
Wow. Okay, then.
It's true.
We've talked here in the past about how there's a lot of like old fossils and dinosaur remains that people have realized were actually a lot more awesome than they thought previously, mostly because what we've known about you know, dinosaurs and basically other paleontological creatures has changed so much. And because of that, we've realized that yes, raptors did have feathers. We found the largest dinosaur ever, and we also found dinosaur that was in between the both plant eaters and meat eaters, sort of the gap between them. And now, after having languished in a museum for over 20 years, they have discovered that they had on hand the largest fossil of an ichthyosaurus, or aka the sea dragon, that currently exists.
It was also pregnant when it died.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, these discoveries are coming pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
And on a regular schedule. It's like, well, not regular schedule. It's not like they release these on a on a timer, but I'm just saying there's a lot of really, really fascinating stuff coming out lately. Makes you wonder if, like, well, there's going to be a lot more of this stuff, or if we've, like, peaked yet.
I actually think we're getting that much closer to finding the missing link in human evolution, I mean.
Yeah.
Which technically we kind of found a bunch of missing links. It's just every new discovery opens up another blank that you have to fill.
Yeah.
And for asshole young Earth creationists to go, ha, but see, you don't have the missing link. Yes, we do. We have this. But you do not have the missing link between that and that. Well, yes, actually, we do. We have this one now that we just discovered. Aha! But you just confirmed my thing. You can't win with those people.
No. Just, yeah.
Yeah, you can. Punch them.
Well, I mean.
That usually works.
You've lived in Kentucky, Teresa. You know what I'm talking about.
Fucking built a fucking Ark museum. Jesus,
which apparently
Christ.
Is going bankrupt.
Good.
Is that the one that wanted to take back the rainbow for God?
Yep. Same one.
I want to say it's illegal now. There started to be investigations into it being.
You know,
well, Randall, considering who helped found it, I'm not surprised.
Randall was never able to take back that porch term, so you know. They're not going to be able to take back the rainbow.
No.
Nope. Long gone.
Yeah. No. So, moving on. As we know, sadly, Terry Pratchett, one of England's greatest writers of the modern era, sadly passed away a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his wishes that he had in his will was just recently confirmed. He had a bunch of unpublished works that he had on a hard drive at his home in England. And pretty much a lot of authors and writers who pass away, sometimes a lot of times in their wills, they'll have it that they want their old their unfinished works to be destroyed. Usually because they don't want to end up like, you know, Tom Clancy or
Ubisoft's Tom Clancy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tom Clancy or Harper Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Who find a bunch of your random notes and then slap your name on it and try to call it a sequel.
Yeah.
To a fucking Nobel Prize winner. God damn it.
Was it really that bad?
Go Tell a Watchman? Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It was bad.
Yeah.
And you can tell. And the thing was, you could tell it was basically an unfinished first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird. But anyway, point is, Terry Pratchett, of course, had that. He had it all on his hard drive, but he wanted it to be destroyed by a steamroller because it's Terry Pratchett. Either that or he would have it like fired off into space or something, but
you know, he would have a pretty good chance of actually getting it back. So, yeah, steamroller sounds good.
Well, he was a knight, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they actually, I guess they filmed the whole thing, too, didn't they?
I didn't see video on that post, but.
Or at least took pictures, I hope.
He took pictures,
Yeah, he said that the steamroller totally annihilated the stone blocks underneath, but the hard drive survived better than expected. So we put it in a stone crusher afterwards, which I think probably finally did it in.
Yep. Okay.
He also said, it's something you've got to follow, and it's really nice that they have followed his request so specifically. It's surprisingly difficult to find somebody to run over a hard drive with a steamroller. I think a few people thought we were kidding when I first started putting out feelers to see if it was possible or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is this announcing it? His daughter?
Yeah. His, Rob Wilkins, his longtime assistant.
His PA, okay.
Yeah. Fulfilling his obligation to Terry.
Yeah. That heartwarming and also hilarious. Just like Terry.
Yep. So no unpublished or
unfinished
Terry Pratchett works or unfinished. You know.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you're not going to end up with a Brandon Sanderson situation, so that's not great. But
there wasn't really. Let's be honest. Discworld was one of those series that really didn't require an ending by its nature.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it was an ending, it wouldn't be a book. It would just be a picture of Death waving bye-bye and then walking away. That's basically...
Yeah. Or just Death giving you the finger or something like that. All
right, so... Next up, everybody probably knows by now, they're trying to do a Hellboy reboot, live action, for a film and television.
Yeah.
And Ed Skrein, or Skrein, how do you pronounce that?
I don't know.
I think it's Skrein.
Ed Skrein. Okay. Ed Skrein was going to be a part of that until he found out that the role he was going to be playing was originally Asian. And since he didn't want to take part in any whitewashing, he decided to walk away from the project.
And he wrote up a nice note sort of explaining that. And I did a pretty good job of that.
Cool. Do you get the sense there's a backlash to the whole whitewashing thing building up in Hollywood?
Yeah. I mean, I think Ghost in the Shell basically kick-started it.
Yeah.
And I think it was just, just in the climate we're in, people have kind of realized we've kind of let some of the shit go on for too long and we might want to start fixing it.
Yeah. Was it Aloha that had Emma Stone as an Asian-American woman?
Mm-hmm.
She has no Asian blood in her.
Nope.
None at all.
no sense whatsoever. So yeah, and hats off to him.
Give him integrity. He's got integrity, so give him that.
I mean, he probably turned down a pretty sizable paycheck to to stick to his principles. So
yeah, there's a good bit on Last Week Tonight about whitewashing in Hollywood. Talk about how it goes back decades to when, you know, what was it? Genghis Khan.
That was the Conqueror.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is had Genghis Khan played by freaking John Wayne.
Yeah.
Of course. And then, of course, there's freaking
Mickey Rooney.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah. It's like Mickey Rooney as an Asian guy. And like one of the most racist things you could see on any film, and it was praised.
That didn't involve an actual Asian.
No.
Otherwise, you could look at 16 Candles or A Christmas Story. Eric Jarhorse with Jarhari, which is insulting doubly because. Guess what? Chinese people normally don't have that big of a problem with the L word, with the L letter.
No.
That's Japanese people.
Yeah.
They may get the L and the R mixed up occasionally when they're first learning.
Yeah.
But
you see they're doing a musical reboot of Christmas Story?
Oh god.
They already did that sequel. Do they have to wreck it enough? Wreck it some more? I mean,
I want to say Maya Rudolph is in it.
No, it wouldn't be Hollywood if they don't reboot it like 4 times.
So, yeah, anyway. Yeah. So, in more entertainment news, Al Clawson, who's been the composer for The Simpsons for over 27 years, who has been a 2-time Emmy Award winner, was basically fired. Received a phone call, said, "Yeah, we don't want you anymore," and that's it. Shit canned.
That's pretty shitty.
Yeah, they didn't even they didn't even give him the courtesy of calling him into the office.
Yeah,
it's harsh.
Makes me wonder what else is going on with The Simpsons at this point.
I think it's Fox trying to cut as much money that doesn't need to be spent, because he essentially was doing all the music with a full 35-piece orchestra every week, as was sort of the original plan from Matt Groening.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we can get this same kind of music much, much cheaper. So just cut the guy.
Yeah. Which is going to be the same anymore.
It hasn't been the same for over a decade.
Yeah, I guess you're right there.
But it seems like Fox just wanting to squeeze as much money out of it as they can.
Yeah, before they go bankrupt.
Yeah.
Is that imminent?
Oh, it's probably not far off.
Okay.
Yeah. Either that or Rupert Murdoch finally dies.
Yeah, whichever comes first.
And honestly, knowing Murdoch, I'm betting that Fox goes bankrupt first. Because I'm pretty sure that dude is a vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And in some more movie news, Sony recently signed up to distribute the long-delayed reboot to The Crow.
Yeah.
Really?
Why are they doing another one of these?
I mean, the only piece of Crow meat. Who?
Yeah, who is awaiting this? The original
movie was already perfect, and literally every piece of spinoff media after that has been utter shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. The only other good thing about it is the comic. And
so how are we calling it long-awaited when, like, who is actually awaiting it?
The people that are making it. They've been apparently working on it for about a decade now, trying to get this off the ground.
Valid.
Well, there's a possibility that it comes out and it turns out to be pretty damn good. So, we could...
Well, if James O'Barr is involved, that will increase its chances. Hmm. And apparently he is.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, so...
I mean, you're going against a classic here. I mean...
Yeah.
And one that has... was great.
Yeah, one that has kind of a legendary status to it because Brandon Lee obviously died during the filming of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it has that whole thing to attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So they had some big names attached to this at various points. Jack Huston was attached to the lead role at one point. I guess the last sort of big names, Jason Momoa was attached as a star, as well as Corin Hardy as the director.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're potentially hoping to be able to get those two actually on board now that they're starting to get more studios and such attached to this thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, signing with Sony just gives them stability. So
yeah,
that's something that they're going to have going for them.
It's just going to be interesting to see if they can actually get Momoa after his stock rises with Justice League and the Aquaman movie.
Yeah, depending on how good those movies are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they better sign him quick before the buzz of those.
Yeah. And finally, our final ultimate story for the night. Warner Brothers is planning a female-led remake of The Lord of the Flies. The movie will be 5 minutes long and nobody survives.
So much nope. Just nope. And it's not because it's a female cast. It's because Lord of the Flies is fucking terrifying.
Yes, it is nightmare fuel. I've read the book. I've seen the movie adaptation.
I like the Simpsons spoof.
Okay, so should I tell what sort of the basic story of Lord of the Flies is?
Yes.
Okay, so basically the story, it's a novel by William Golding, and the story is that these kids, apparently there's this big war going on, and these kids are on this plane fleeing, I guess, the war. It's been a long time since I've read the book, but... And apparently the plane crashes, and so the surviving kids, all of them are boys, they all end up on this abandoned island. And in order to survive, they try to create their own sort of mini civilization, and then everything goes to hell.
Yeah.
There's this one kid who starts talking to the head of a dead pig that is apparently claims to be Beelzebub himself. A poor kid, this poor fat kid gets pushed off a cliff and dies, and if you've ever wondered what would happen if you just, how horrible children can be to each other.
Yeah. I think this, you know, the novel was probably a little, maybe too dramatic, but, I don't know. It was believable enough.
Yeah. Holy crap. It's... I kind of want to see this just to see how they do it, but god damn, it is going to be brutal.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about.
And what is the age range of the girl reboot people in question here?
They don't say, but in the original story, they're all like...
None of them were.
Yeah, none of them were over 13. 13. Yeah.
Oh, so they're going to get them when the hormones are ramping up. Age after 10 is horrible. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like Jill, I said, right. The movie's only 5 minutes long and nobody is going to survive.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And I'm seriously, that was not me trying to make some sort of misogynistic joke. I have a lot of young girls in my family and I've gone through that little...
So shit would go down.
Yeah. I mean, this is just basic biology we're talking about here.
It also kind of makes me wondering what time period they're going to set this in.
Well, good thing about Lord of the Flies, you can basically adapt it to any time period if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Well, imagine like a bunch of kids from range, you know, like from 8 to 13, all used to basically having their smartphones and their Twitter and their Facebook, finally stuck on an island, no cell signal, no battery chargers.
All right, I'm gonna redo my estimate. I'm saying this movie's gonna last 3 minutes at most.
You do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they could bite out each other's jugulars way quicker than that.
It only takes how long to bleed out from that?
Well, maybe about 3 minutes by the time the last one, you know, finally. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
The only things they have nailed down for this is who's writing and directing this. It's Scott McGahey and David Siegel, who directed What Maisie Knew a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it right now.
Oh boy,
I'm making jokes, but honestly, I probably would see this.
If they can pull it off, this will be definitely a must see. Yeah. Just to see.
I read this book in junior high.
Yeah.
You know, it scarred me for life.
Yeah, I read it in high school. It's,
it'll fuck you up.
It will fuck you up. You won't really trust your fellow students after that. It just.
Yeah.
But, anyway, so.
I mentioned here a couple of the other sort of gender bending remakes that are happening at this point. There's a Splash remake with Channing Tatum. Seems like that could be a pretty good thing there.
Mm.
There's also the Ocean's 11 reboot that's just featuring women called Ocean's 8.
Mm.
They also mentioned Dirty Rotten Scoundrels that MGM is doing, and a role-swapping Overboard reboot.
Hmm.
What did you say the Ocean's 11 reboot was going to be called?
Ocean's 8.
Like, even in the movie titles, the women get less.
Wow.
Yeah, they got Sandra Bullock, Anne Hathaway, Kate Blanchett, Sarah Paulson, Mindy Kaling, Rihanna, and Helena Bonham Carter. So,
yeah.
All right.
To be fair, this Ocean's movie is actually supposed to be a prequel. So,
okay.
There's that.
I was going to say.
Yeah, they got to do 8, 9, and 10. Then we get to 11, 12. All that other crap.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, all right. So we got a show, folks.
Yep.
All right. So I would like to remind all of our readers, if you would like to get in contact with us, have a question you want us to ask, have a comment on the show, or if you just have something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us. Email us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got that linked in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can also find our little podcast at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and a random group of primitive technologies that I just, at this point, I can't even give a damn trying to remember. So that gag went on far longer than it needed to be. So with that, I have been your host with the most and terrible joke master, Brandon Perkins. And for Felipe Manalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Loggi, I'd like to say good night.